fare you in. But if you can't join, please allow us to forge ahead. And please start explaining to your people that European decisions are not Brussels diktats, but agreements in which you freely participate.
What has Poland reached in the last 10, 15 years? Let's say a top status of the economy, of political stability. Poland is, let's say, in the heart of Europe.
Joachim Bitterlich was a senior foreign policy advisor to Chancellor Helmut Kohl and one of the architects of the single currency.
The European Union, since its inception, has been founded on the relationship between Germany and France. You can imagine in the future the German-Polish relationship becoming more important than the Franco-German relationship.
Perhaps yes, perhaps as important. Because if you take the free, there you see the mirror of Europe and at the same time the backbone. The French, in my eyes, underestimate the importance of Poland till today. The Germans, I think, Berlin has understood it. If you want one of the advantages of being in Berlin, is that relationship.
The single currency was designed to stop nations gaining an unfair advantage by devaluing. Germany has been the great beneficiary of what the Treaty of Rome called ever closer union. The true Finns are now flying a conspiracy kite that European federalists will use the current crisis as a way of binding the nations of Europe more tightly together. In fact, they're starting to say maybe that's been the plan all along, the purpose of the current crisis.
Is it really possible that they did not see the problems of the Greeks? I've heard from a very reliable source the problems of the Greeks and even the tampering of the numbers was widely known in here, Europarliament, and it was just ignored because it didn't fit the image that the euro system is perfect. Now when the crisis is here, the federalists are not willing to take one single step backwards. They are trying to advance the integration even further because of the crisis.
So they're using the crisis in order to push forward the federalist project.
Exactly. That makes me think, how far was the original euro system an unintentional failure? Was it a deliberate plan to create United States of Europe at any cost?
It is a seductive conspiracy theory with a powerful appeal among those already inclined to Euroscepticism. You hear this in Athens everywhere, that the euro crisis is a manufactured emergency to allow foreign capitalists to pillage the country's assets. It is a Greek revolt against the European ideal. Paradoxically, Ed Balls claims he was against the euro, in part at least, because he believed it would, in the long run, damage, not strengthen the European project.
I was always, and have always been, a strong pro-European. My view was that the potential stress this would mean for the European project was big and risky, but my view for Britain was always that pro-Europeanism here was too fragile to deal with the potential stress and shock of our membership. So far from being a sceptic argument about Britain's relationship with Europe, my argument was always that the pro-European cause could potentially be set back for a generation if we got this wrong. That's why it had to be preceded with great caution. I think actually that is an argument which history may show should have been applied to the whole of the European Union. We'll see. Maybe they'll come through this.
For this is an existential crisis in Europe. The single currency is in danger of unravelling. Quentin Peel.
Crises in Europe do eventually, finally, force people to respond and try and find a solution. The financial crisis that we've got now is that sort of shock to the system. Urgent measures are needed now to prove to the markets that Europe's got an answer to the problem of not having a fiscal union. Can we do it in a matter of 6 months or even 2 to 3 months? I don't know if it's going to work. I mean, as somebody who's always been fascinated by this project and has always believed that actually it was a really exciting project that was going on in Europe, I have real concern that it is a moment when it could fall apart. There is a possibility of that.
Europe's elites want more Europe, not less. They want Germany to act, to help impose its legendary discipline on the rest of the continent. Given its history, Germany is squeamish about imposing anything. Lord Kerr, the former British ambassador to the EU.
For them, it's really important to internationalise the controls. They don't want Germans to be seen as controllers. They genuinely don't want to control, in my view. I think it's not just perceptions, it's reality. But that drives them to wanting a bigger Brussels. And that is not popular in Paris, and clearly very unpopular in Britain.
The Eurozone now faces a clear choice: force some countries to drop out of the single currency and retreat to national silos, or lock more tightly together and surrender more sovereignty, especially over tax and spending, to Brussels. The choice it makes will be made, in effect, in Berlin. The project began in the 1950s as a way of Europeanizing Germany. Half a century on, the fate of the continent lies in the hands of a reluctant German chancellor.
Europe's Choice was presented by Alan Little and produced by Jane Beresford.
Everything begins with a question.
Why did you lie about your age?
Why do you think?
And the questions are just beginning.
Oh, some of the boys had too much, myself included, I must admit. You know how it is.
How it is? No, sorry, Rod, I'm afraid we don't know.
The Interrogation. Three crime stories probing some of today's most complex moral issues.
Was Rod Tyler aware of how old you were?
I told him I was 18. It wasn't his fault.
What wasn't his fault?
Kenneth Cranham and Alex Lanapeken star as unlikely partners in The Interrogation, original British drama on BBC Radio 4, starting tomorrow afternoon at 2:15.
Beer.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. At en sådan musikunderviser havde kaldt Medina for Danmarks bedste tekstforfatter.
Ja!
Jeg kan simpelthen ikke huske, hvem der skulle have sagt det, så jeg kan ikke ligesom afsløre, hvem
Nej. Det
skulle være. Men det satte bare nogle tanker i gang, fordi hun skriver så direkte.
Ja.
Altså meget, meget, meget ligefremt, ikke?
Men det er også den der, jeg kan huske, hende der journalist eller radioperson, hvad hedder det, og model, altså Dudu Tepe, på et tidspunkt, så snakkede vi om Medina, og så var hun sådan der, overvej, hvor sindssygt, altså, kan man dø af jalousi?
Ja, så flot. Altså, helt afsindigt flot. Sådan. Ej, vi kunne næsten høre, ej, men den er ikke lige så ny, men vi kunne næsten godt høre, hedder den bare, nej, hvad er det, den hedder?
Jeg ved ikke, om den hedder jalousi.
Hedder den bare jalousi?
Thank you.